Today, I have a great friend and business partner, Elka Ravid, with Douglas Elliman here in Westchester County, New York. Elka, thank you so much. I love to see you in your red glasses, always so inspirational and catchy. I'm about to just wear glasses, even though I got LASIK. I don't know what color I would wear, though. Purple is my favorite color.
I love purple.
Awesome. I just like it because it's red and blue combined. Anyway, so... Elka and I have...
My favorite is pink, and I happen to love pink, too, so...
There you go. So does my daughter. Thank you. So Elka and I have known each other for a few years now, right? We've done some business together on a personal level and with a bunch of clients. You definitely separate yourself from a lot of other people I do business with because you really focus on a niche market, right? Like, you know, you live in Southern Westchester, you love in Southern Westchester, you know the amenities in the community. Larchmont is really where your ideal client would reside, right? Is that like, that's your home base basically in the surrounding area?
That's correct. I've been living in Larchmont for almost 20 years now. I've raised my two children here. My husband actually grew up here as well. My father-in-law lives in town. My brother-in-law, my sister-in-law live in town. So I do have a lot of family here. I've been very, very involved in the community. And so, yeah, I definitely feel like this is my niche. I mean, this is what I know the best. But of course, being in the business as long as I have, you familiarize yourself with neighboring towns also. I do specialize only in Southern Westchester. I'm fortunate enough to be part of a very large real estate community. And so I can always refer out, but I prefer not to go to Connecticut, not to go to Manhattan, not think that I'm the best at everything, but just really kind of focus on this and being the best here.
Well, it's funny you say that because there's so many agents I do business with and they have that opposite mentality, right? They want to be the jack of all trades, master of none. And you've, from day one that I met you, you're like, that's not me. Like, I know these specific towns. Mm-hmm. I know their communities. I know the amenities. And I think that really does hold a lot of weight, especially if you're looking to buy in a specific area. You don't want someone from New Jersey showing you a property in Larchmont, right? Because they may not know the nice areas in Larchmont, even if they Google it, right? Because
absolutely. Somebody asked me the other day for like a potential $6 million property in Long Island, and they asked if I could sell it. And I said, I wish I could, but I can't. I don't know Long Island.
That's admirable.
My mother-in-law's from there, but I don't know Long Island.
Yeah, that's admirable. That's a big paycheck, right? So
I could refer out and get a little piece of the pie. And that's enough for me.
Yeah, I love that. Now, you know, with your connections with the businesses and everything in that area, have you been noticing that a lot of people have been moving to the area because of the remote work impact from COVID? And how is that kind of changing the dynamic of the town surrounding Larchmont?
That's a really good question, Fernando. You know, so Larchmont, the proximity to the city always and has always made it a very desirable town. So historically, always, we're about 35 to 45 minutes away on the train. We're on the water. It's the fantastic community, walkability. And it also has this like very, it's a natural charm. I mean, it's really like the gem of Westchester.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
I've been
really
to a lot of
beautiful
towns, but I still think that Larchmont is a gem. And and so it's always been a natural progression for people to leave from Brooklyn and Manhattan and to move out to Larchmont and the surrounding towns. The pandemic definitely impacted that because people had just fled. They just were like, let's just get out of New York City and Brooklyn. And if they could, if they didn't have anybody to like a family's house or somewhere else to go or their own personal second home somewhere, then they bought out here and they bought up all of the houses possible. So that's why we've had a little delay in catching up. And that is why it's still a seller's market, because we haven't caught up to the initial like flee that happened. I mean, we just had the anniversary almost 4 years ago.
I know.
Just a couple days ago. I do believe that the average price point has gotten so high here in Larchmont at about 1.7 that, and it's just unaffordable for a lot of people, understandably. People are moving to neighboring towns. There's Hartsdale, there's Eastchester, there's New Rochelle, there's literally Westchester's amazing. All of these towns are, I think, benefiting and away from all of these families and young people and who want to move out here. So I think that as much as I know Larchmont will still always be desirable, I think the other towns are going to catch up. And little by little, you're getting seen renovated homes all over the place, popping up, popping up. But I do think that all the other towns are benefiting from the demand that we have.
I agree with you. I mean, you know, I live a little more up the line, right? And the thing is like, I notice it up where I live. I mean, I see it. I have a property that's up by, you know, by Rhinebeck, you know, Millbrook area, which is a very desirable area for people to own second homes from the city. Mm-hmm. And even up there, I mean, people are moving up there and living up there is their primary. Cold Spring, Garrison. Yeah. I mean, it's changing the dynamic a little bit. Do you see that in Larchmont, like the dynamic of the population change?
Well, going back a little bit to your point that, yes, people are working from home and that has been a little bit of a change from what we've seen like pre-pandemic, but they are going back to work. So it's not 5 days a week, but it still has to be attainable. So even if people are moving an hour north, if they're only having to go to work twice a week and staying in the train for an hour, it's doable. You know, it becomes a little bit harder when it's 3 to 4 times, 5 times a week. Then it's like, okay, you want to be less than an hour away. Although when people were living in Brooklyn and you had a commute to Manhattan, there's also a commute of about an hour. So you could live out here for a lot less than you can there for a lot more.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, the urban-suburban shift, I think, has been something big that we've all kind of been dealing with. And I've noticed it In a bunch of different ways. I don't know if you could agree to this, but like even driving around, there's like a lot more cars on the road and there's a lot more drivers that may not know how to drive because they never owned a car before and then moved to like the country. Right. And now, you know, they're having some issues navigating. But like, have you seen that as well, where a lot of people come from that urban, because Larchmont, even though it is, it's really a city, right, per se. It's a town, but it's as big of a city. It's more suburban.
It's a town.
It is a town? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So it's...
We're not as... White Plains is a city. New Rochelle is a city. Yeah. We are...
Still keeping that town-esque. Now, do you see a lot of the urban to suburban shift? Is that changing the way businesses are created or staying afloat or anything in Larchmont in the surrounding area? Or is it just kind of business as usual for now? You know, do you see a major difference with all these people moving up at all? Or,
you know what? It's like not only in Larchmont, but for instance, I mean, Harrison, who has all these, I mean, fabulous rentals right at the train station, it's a neighboring town. They're really building up their downtown and their main street, and they didn't really have much of one before. Now it's actually really coming back. More restaurants. We have great cafes called a Laughing Horse. All these independent little stores and little and shops. Larchmont also. We have a couple new ones, new restaurants that are opening up. So I do believe and I do hope that people continue to shop local and, you know, support the locals. I think that is so incredibly important for these towns. It's amazing that we go to Cold Springs, you go to like the burbs and you go to these like remote towns and they've got these cute little shops and you're like, who supports this? But the townies do. And I would like to think that we can support the new businesses that are opening up. And there's a lot of people opening up a couple of cute stores here in Larchmont as well. I wish them a lot of luck.
I think the economy is definitely expanding because the increased population in the area, 100%. Now, let's get a little more granular about like what you do to differentiate yourself. Speaking of Larchmont and the surrounding towns, you know, I know you do a lot of buy sides, but mainly listing sides as well, right? I mean, like you really focus on listings and making sure the properties are in their best condition and show the best, because there's not much inventory now, but even before COVID, you know, you were doing certain things to separate yourself. What are one of those things, like, you know, I know you and I discussed home staging and design and kind of having that eye appeal, right? When someone walks in looking at a living room and saying, I could see myself here, right? As opposed to, you know, maybe not staging and using some old furniture, or let's say it's a vacant house, right? Which we see a lot. people move mm-hmm. into a new property, they have a vacant home. How do you use staging and design to really make sure that your sellers are getting the best bang for their buck when it comes to their sale?
That's right, Fernando. I really try to save my clients money. It was actually really interesting that the other day I was looking, I went to some open houses and there were agents chit-chatting and they were like, oh, this stager is so good and he's so well priced. I'm going to tell him he's got to increase his rates and he's got to be more expensive. And I'm thinking to myself, why?
Why would you do that?
Like, yeah. Like he is okay with what he's charging.
Yeah.
Why are you going to push him to spend, like, you're not paying for it. The clients are paying for it. So I really try to save my clients money and I do the most I possibly can myself. I've been doing this long enough where, I mean, if I can just say to my clients, you should just really paint this house white, which by the way goes so far, it just gives a really nice crisp, clean, fresh feel to a room and a house. Yep. Sometimes that's what it needs with some pillows and some plants and some flowers and okay. I mean, if it's a lot more than that, then it's a further conversation, but I have a lot of that stuff. I have a whole staging unit in storage and I use the most I possibly can to save my clients money.
That's amazing.
And that's of course a gratuitous, it's my pleasure to do that for them. Yeah. And I mean, I do whatever I possibly can to save my clients money. I really, really do. That being said, if you get the Larchmont Living magazine, I have a whole article in April about staging. But if you do need additional staging advice, then I have people that I can refer to. Or I also know of companies. And again, I can do it myself. I've done full house staging. I do full house, just even paring down. So much of it is just getting rid of the clutter. Sometimes you just want to pare it down and have somebody, new buyers that are coming in, see a house and saying, I can see myself living here. And you can tell when you're working with buyers and the house is staged, they just get overwhelmed with excitement on a beautiful home. They're like, oh my God, I can see myself here.
They see the canvas. A lot of people just aren't artistic enough to see that that open canvas it their own.
Or it's even like people live like that. I mean, it's like Pottery Barn or just something like that's very like beiges and whites and pretty and crisp. I mean, they can see themselves living like that versus, when there's like a lot going on, you're like, ooh, it's a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Let me unpack something real quick. You said you were in Larchmont Living next month, April of 2024.
That's correct.
That's awesome. So you did a staging article basically explaining how staging really is a huge benefit. That's amazing.
It is a huge benefit. I mean, it gets about 20% more than a house that's not staged, as well as selling so much faster. And really, when you put a house on the market, it can be such an inconvenience on so many levels that you want to sell it.
Especially when it's cold out and people trudging through your house with snow and everything, outside here in New York, at least. And, you want to just get it over with as quickly as possible, in most circumstances. But I love it. I think what you mentioned about saving clients money, it's something that I've seen with my own eyes. And that's why I like collaborating with you and I like doing business with you, because we both feel like we have that fiduciary duty to keep our clients' best interests in mind, right? And make sure that their needs and wants are met. Staging is definitely a huge part of that. If you are looking to sell, make sure you speak with Elka about staging and make sure you list with her. Very important. And if you're buying, listen, I've had a lot of buy sides with Elka as well, and I've done financing for her clients, and she knows her stuff and she communicates tirelessly. That's the thing. You're probably one of the few agents I know that like will work on the buy side or sell side and constantly communicate. I mean, enough to the point where I'm like, I don't even have to reach out to you. You're like, I talk to you anyway, so it makes it easy, but you're just like, everything going good? I'm like, everything's good. You're like, okay, great. Hey, I got to talk to the town about this, or title has an issue with that or whatever. You just take initiative instead of just waiting for the check to come to you. I love that.
Thank you.
We need more people in business like that, because you know, most agents, they just like kind of, they say, okay, they're in contract. I'm good. I'm going to move on to the next one. And they don't have that customer service aspect. You
thank
know,
you.
What do you think? Yeah. Thank you. I'm sorry. I like cut you off. I apologize. I was going to say, so like, you know, the market, we're 2 years into this extremely tough market from 2022. You know, we didn't talk about this topic at all, but I just wanted to get your opinion. Where do you think things are going to go? I want to know what your opinion is. You know, I know you absorb a lot of stuff from me and other social media and other people in our industry, but like, but what do you think? You know, is real estate still a winner? Are people like, are they right sitting on the sidelines right now? What do you think?
Okay, let me just shake my imaginary
question. Yeah, I know, right? I'm like, also, by the way, don't get too upset with that question, because I know you're like, that's it. Like, Hulk comes out, you know, like, yeah. Don't sit on the sidelines, you know, but yeah,
don't do that. Actually, it's a good question. And I have a lot of buyers who I am like, do not sit on the sideline. You know, make a move now. There's a house that you want to see. Don't focus on the rate. We have no idea what is going to happen. I mean, there is just so much ambivalence and it's just so much uncertainty. I mean, we don't know what's going to happen. And I do believe that if you wait too long and if the rates go down, then there's just going to be more competition and you're going to be paying more. And it's really just focus on the now, focus on your needs. There are always people moving for all kinds of reasons. You know, this is a little bit of a lighter time for me. I mean, I'm busy. I'm always busy. But it's like, I just wish it would be more inventory. And it wouldn't be. Yeah. I mean, and the rates are inflated and the prices are inflated right now. I mean, the prices are high. You know, three bedrooms going for $1.4, $1.5 million. I mean, that's, you know, used to be a lot lower than that. So
I can't believe that average cost in Larchmont is around 1.7. That's,
yeah.
I mean, but then again, like, listen, a lot of those river towns all the way up to like Katona, Bedford, Irvington, you know, on the other side of the county. I mean, the entry point is over a million, you know, and a middle class home right now is around 600,000 or 700,000. You know, it used to be 300 to 500, and you could still find those homes, but they're not going to be in towns like Larchmont, river towns, or anything like that. They're, you know, they're going to be in an area that doesn't have any views, right, or any access to possibly a train, you know. But yeah, I agree with you. I think what happens is, and a lot of people who are watching this, because this is going to get hashed up on some social media platforms, a lot of you talk smack and say, well, you're trying to sell us real estate. Well, this is the thing. We can't force you to buy real estate. If you don't believe in real estate, right, and you don't think it's a wealth building asset, and you just prefer to rent, that's fine. You could rent. Like, I'm not telling you, I'm a landlord. Like, you could rent for me all day. I need renters, right? Mm-hmm. But the thing is that, like, Elka and I have kicked this around a few times over the past 2 years. You know, sitting on the sidelines and waiting for a crash to happen. I just posted something on my Instagram story. Crash isn't going to happen. It's just not in the economic outlook for everyone, you know, people who analyze this data nonstop. And not for nothing, a rate of 6 or 7 or 8%, it's still half of what the historical high was. You know, if you just look back 30, 40 years, you know, so I think you're right. I think people who are waiting on the sideline are going to pay a higher price to play. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it's going to cost more. Is there anything else that you want to mention about Larchmont, your business, a focus of yours, anything that you just want to kind of throw out into the universe for anyone who's watching this, or just debunk something? Have you heard of something recently that you're like, I don't agree with that, or I do agree with it, or whatever?
I guess, I really do, like you were saying before, I mean, I appreciate that you say that about me, that I really do focus on my client, the whole process from beginning to end. You know, people are like, oh, Elka, you're so sweet. I'm like, you know what? I'm kind of like a baby shark. Like, I'm not always that sweet. I like to get things done. And I like to kind of be in control of the situation from beginning to end. I don't like to have loose ends and really kind of like expect things from other people. Like, I like to be in control and make sure that my clients are well taken care of throughout the process. That's why I also like to pair up with people like you who I know I can completely depend on, and I know that you do the best for my clients. So
that means a lot. You know,
I do have a team, but it's like, you know, it's like people like you.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. I could appreciate that. I mean, the team is so important when it comes to buying real estate. A lot of people nowadays are first-time homebuyers, right? Because mm-hmm. the people who own homes are like, well, I have a 2.5% rate. I don't want to forfeit that to upgrade my house. And I think they're going to be in for a surprise when that price point increases, right? And they ended up having to buy something different for one reason or another. But mm-hmm. yeah, I agree with you. I think we work in an industry that we lack control in many instances. Mm-hmm. So having the ability to control good people in the transaction and make sure that clients are happy is a big deal. I think we're good. Is there anything else? I mean, anything else you want to say? What about actually, what's your social media handle? Put that on there so people could follow you.
Well, that's actually, you can just look me up, Elko Ravid, in most social media outlets.
Instagram. So. Are you on TikTok as well?
I am.
Okay. Do you dance at all? Okay. You know, whatever I say, like, it's so funny because my biggest following is on TikTok, right? And I don't dance on TikTok because TikTok has this new thing TikTok taught me. And people love this type of content because it teaches them something, right? It gives them insight to what people within the real estate industry, what their thought process is and, you know, what's important to them and how they get homes sold, right? Mm-hmm. But everyone that I say I'm on TikTok is like, oh, so you dance? And maybe I should start dancing. I don't know. I mean, I dance every day with my daughter. I just don't film it. You know, maybe I just...
You know, a little bit of hip hop, a little bit of this. That's all you need.
Yeah, a little shoulder. There you go. Listen, you and I always have a blast. You know, it was a year ago that we had lunch in White Plains and we're due for another one at Keys Oyster House. That was a great lunch.
Yeah, that was a really good one.
We're due for another one. It's getting warm out here in New York, so I definitely want to see your beautiful face in the near future in person. Thank you for joining me. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you for joining me. Thanks for the insight on some great topics. If you want to see more of this, please check out Finance with Fernando on Spotify. I have a bunch of different episodes. Elka, thank you again. Douglas Elliman, real estate licensed salesperson. Thanks for watching. We'll catch you on the next one. Talk to you soon.
Awesome.